Oh God. Oh my God.
Tell you what, I ate a lot of tacos in the 90s.
They were popping.
There's a hair on my microphone.
Gross. Is it mine?
No, I think it was one of the like Rosie's or something.
Okay. That's better, I suppose.
Depends where on Rosie.
True.
Not all dog hair is the same.
Butt hair.
Things haven't changed that much over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Daryl, do you have a strong feeling one way or the other on these movies? I know this is our comedy bracket.
I'm a big fan of both, to be honest. Weatherman, I think low-key, one of my favorite Cage films. It might actually be.
It's a good film.
Yeah. There's so many things throughout that movie that I forgot until I turned it on. And I was like, oh, wait. I'm going to see some fucking chicken nuggets slapping him in the face. That's going to be good.
That's what we come for.
I still want to believe that brands paid to have like stuff thrown on Nick Cage.
Yeah. I mean,
he talks about Frosties a lot.
And he goes into an Arby's to get Arby's coffee.
Whoa. Well, he was trying to get change.
Yeah, I know.
It's also so weird to think about. There was a time not that long ago where you needed cash.
It's true. Do you think Arby's coffee is just like
au jus?
Beef dripping? That's just au jus.
I was just thinking that'd be great. That would be a way better marketing if they just sold like a cup of au jus.
Caffeinated au jus.
Then you could take your roast beef and dip it.
I want caffeinated gravy.
Yeah, isn't that a red eye gravy?
Is that what that is?
I don't know. It's gravy with coffee in it.
How much coffee?
Not enough to like get you going.
That's not what I want.
Well, then you just want coffee.
Yeah, but I want it to be gravied.
Okay. I'll do that for you, but you have to eat it all.
You're going to make a disgusting amount.
No, I'm going to make a normal 16-ounce cup of coffee's amount.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
It truly does.
And a cup of coffee.
Since we've last met, I've quit drinking, and I need new and interesting ways to hurt myself.
Which is great, because that's where I come in.
Blending stuff in gravy. This is how you get your sick kicks. From gravy to the grave.
Like, I don't want coffee gravy. I want caffeinated gravy.
The fuck are you talking about?
You're gonna get the gravy I make you.
One of the scenes in Weatherman that I had forgotten about entirely, and it was just like, this is so strange. It's when Mike is eating the corn dogs and Nick Cage is like, what are you eating?
Yeah, like he's never seen a corn dog before.
So welcome back to Cage Magical in a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm Sean, here with my co-host
Nick. I'm Nick.
And our producer
Peter. Hello.
And this week we have back Daryl Edge from the Cage Raid podcast and Getting Defoe You.
Hello. Yes, there's been more Defoe since the last time. This cage is still caging on. Thank you for having me back. Feels like it was only yesterday you were talking to me about spiders and spider season. And I'm still mad that I know that's a thing that exists.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can put your mind to ease it a little bit. We are currently at the start of bunny season.
Yeah. It's much softer.
Is that, that's not another name for like spiders, is it? Because I will start throwing hands at all of you.
No, yeah, legit
rabbit. Pacific Northwest rabbit?
Yeah. No, like legit bunnies. I was like pulling out of my driveway the other day and there was just a bunny in front of my car that I had to like shoo off.
Would have been better if it was on your car.
Yeah.
Just I hope it was driving your car. That'd be a much better story for me.
Just rabbits, like three rabbits in a trench coat stealing his car.
That'd still be a very short person.
The power of three anythings in a trench coat can do whatever it puts its mind to. The trench coat is what gives it the power, really.
Yeah.
It's a magical trench coat.
It does make sense that way. Daryl, I had a question for you because I watched a movie recently and it did have Willem Dafoe in it and it's a new movie. Have you seen Poor Things yet?
I have indeed, yes.
What did you think of that movie? Obviously without spoiling too much of your own work that you're going to do later when you actually review that.
I loved it. I'm a big, big fan. Give me deformed Defoe any day of the week. Give me deformed daddy and I'm there with bells on. Give me Emma Stone, you know, anything really. Big fan of Emma Stone. And also Mark Ruffalo. What a goddamn GM.
So you say a deformed Defoe. We've seen Defoe with tiny teeth. What's he what's he bringing to the table this time?
Oh, it's something.
Oh my God. Is it his wiener?
No, that's too scary for everyone.
I wish. I mean, you know, we have a running gag on our show. It's not even a gag at this point. It's just a fact that we have to bring up Defoe's hog every episode where it does not belong. a lot of like sort of weird Frankenstein jigsawed prosthetics on the face. This kind of odd kind of Germanic accent, fat fingers. This guy's got a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
No doubt that he's got a Frankenstein dig too.
Thank God.
Patched together all different shades.
Do you think the stitching is like a selling point when he goes on a date? Like, yeah, it's got stitching, so it's like kind of all off-center ribbing.
Unintentionally ribbed for her pleasure.
Right.
Yeah. Don't go too hard. It might like rip something off, but...
I think my favorite line in that movie is when he's sort of like defending his actions, and he's just like, well, of course, what was I supposed to do? I put the baby's brain in the mother's body. And everyone's like, mm-hmm.
All right. I have no clue what this movie is about.
When did we start talking about American politics?
He did nothing wrong.
Like, yeah, right.
We've got it coming up in as soon as we thought to ourselves, we should probably do some more recent movies so people listen to us. That'd be nice.
Wait, you do this for listeners?
Wait, what?
You do what? This for the listeners?
I do it to get laid. Actually, maybe you do it to get laid.
I've tried. It hasn't worked yet. That's the thing. Nick Cage Podcaster is on my dating profile, and everyone I like, whenever I bring it up with someone I'm talking to on an app, they're just like, wait, that's real? And my only response to that is ever, why would I lie about that? Of all the things I could lie about, why would I lie about that?
I think that's where you're going wrong. You can't get defensive as soon as someone asks you a question about something you put in your own profile. It's like, you're a Nick Cage podcaster? Fuck you! Fuck
well,
you!
It's always just like, you're serious about that? I'm like, of course I'm serious about it.
You should just...
why would I lie about that?
Not answer with words, but answer with just a bottle of ether.
My profile was written by three bunnies in a trench coat. What do you want from me?
Now that you should add.
Oh.
So Dave Spritz.
Dave Spritz.
Just like the weatherman, this conversation is full of depression. All right. here we go, people.
Back on track.
Oh, if we're talking about weatherman, in respect to the horrible American accents by English actors in this, I want to hear your best, worst American accent.
I mean, I feel like on behalf of all British people, I have to apologize for Michael Caine. We didn't tell him to do that. I remember talking about this on like when I covered this, and I was like, you know what? No one's watching Michael Caine for an accent. You know what I mean? Let Michael Caine be Michael Caine. Just say like, Nicholas, your daughter's got a camel toe. What is this? Dildos. Like, that would have been great. That would have been fine.
Sucking and fucking and chucking rocks.
Fucking and chucking. What is this all about?
It's much better.
It would have been fine. Like, transatlantic relationships can happen. You can have a British mother, and British father, Michael Caine father and American mother. Still producer Nicolas Cage. Now you're asking my own best and worst American. I don't know. I feel like anytime someone English tries to do an American accent, it's going to end up being some kind of California surfer, yeah, dear, kind of stuff like that. Or it's going to be, I don't know. I'm walking here. Like, is that, did I sound like I'm one of you? Did I sound good? Was that convincing?
Yeah, exactly. I heard that as I came over here.
Like, the gold standard for me is like the Hugh Laurie house.
Oh, as like a bad American.
Just like, this is generic American.
Yeah, it always feels like you have to move your mouth in a really weird way. I don't know. It just sounds so strange.
Yeah, it just sounds like anytime you guys talk, it's just a massive struggle to keep that accent going. You can stop faking it, guys.
Oh, thank fuck.
Yeah, we've all actually secretly been using British accents for the last 250 years. We're like, let's not let this one go.
I'm Greek.
Yeah.
Who said the revolution failed? You know, we played the long game, guys.
We tried our best.
So the weatherman.
It's early here.
Yeah.
I'm only on my first cup of coffee. It's weird going back and like thinking about a time where money was necessary. I said that already.
Yeah, you did. It's fine.
But yeah, like if anyone gives me cash now, I'm really annoyed with them.
Oh, I was nothing to do with it. To get cash the other day, because that's less cash I needed to pull out for weed.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Cash to me always feels like fake money now, which is really funny because if I have it, I'm like, well, I haven't thought about this. I'm not like going to have this deducted from my bank account anymore. So it's just sort of like, whatever, it's cash.
Yeah. That's like just free goods.
Yeah. This isn't going on the books.
Yeah. You could spend it on anything.
Anything.
Like cheap hand jobs.
Ooh, how yeah. cheap?
Well, I only carry $1 usually, so
it's gonna be a weird.
That sounds callousy.
Tug and rotation from below.
Mm. Hey, you don't know what I like.
I don't, but I know what I do.
Like the hand grip of someone trying to like start a motorcycle, just wrenching it down. That's like the kind of like stuff I'm into.
Start at the top and pull straight down.
Oh, like an udder.
Yeah, yeah, like an udder. Like I'm milking a llama.
Yeah,
or an alpaca.
The boobs.
See, this is the kind of conversation you just don't get on any other podcast. The $1 hand job conversation, you know, cranking it.
Yeah, this is what brings you back, eh, Daryl?
And I'll come back again and again and again because I want to know what $2 can get me. $5. I want to convert it.
I was just thinking of like, if you showed up with like a $2 bill.
But want change.
So is it that hard to get change? I know we're like, you know, we're all cashless society, you know, 2024. Is it that hard to get change in an Arby's? We don't have them over here. So I can only go by what this film tells me about like circa 2005 Arby's. Will they fight you on that?
No, you would be allowed to get change.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be some stores that have certain policies. Where like, I mean, the McDonald's in downtown Seattle, right by Westlake. Yeah. You can't do anything there.
No, you could probably get,
you could barely order food there.
Drug dealers out front.
Yeah. You could probably do that.
You could probably get a $1 hand job.
You could also probably do that, but you have to get the special code to get in the bathroom. So.
All right. So now it's like what, a $5 hand job? Cause you have to buy a drink or something. Ooh, you have to buy a coffee.
Who's wasting their time on bathrooms? It's already Third and Pike.
Just, yeah. Right. It's public.
Just let it fly.
Gross.
Can I get the $1 McHand job, a side of fries, a small coffee?
I'm gonna spill my McNuggets all over the sidewalk.
Podcast is over.
Yeah. Well, it ties into all the throwing of food that was in this movie, so there you go. It's not totally.
How many takes do you think those each took?
Oh, yeah. Like, did they just have a ton of coats and just pelted the fuck out of him?
Gore Verbinski, he was throwing all the food at him off camera, though.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just catching him by surprise.
Oh, nice.
So just standing there waiting, and Cage had to just perform.
I hope they set up like a whole bunch of blinds where you just didn't know where Verbinski was going to come out of. Keep him guessing.
Or what if he just wore a ghillie suit and just like hung out on the sidewalk? I saw a dude step out of some like shrubs. It was in Queen Anne, I think. Wearing a ghillie suit and a scuba mask or like a snorkel.
I would actually,
I don't know why.
I would actually be afraid in that situation, I think.
Yeah. That's weird.
I love it.
I'd have to approach the scuba man. I can't just let that go.
He just like stepped out and walked away, and I was standing there waiting for a bus, like, just enthralled. Just
did he get on the bus?
No, he walked a different direction. Oh. He had no connection with me after that. Just two ships passing in the night.
What was the scuba mask about?
Where did he come from and where did he go? Was this man caught on eye, Joe? I want to. Why did you not follow him? I'm actually furious.
Oh, man. I know. I really fucked that one up.
You would have been spotted so fast, though.
Yeah, I didn't have a ghillie suit.
I don't know. You look like a lot of people. You would have just blended in.
Yeah.
At least once a day, I see someone who isn't you that I think is you.
That's fair. You should always be suspicious of people walking around. They could be me.
I know.
Minor disguises.
Terrifying.
Like a snake costume with just my big fucking head on top. Watch out for those snakes.
The snakes be snaking. That man wriggled on his belly, unlocked his jaw, ate my 6-pack carton of eggs from the grocery store, shed his skin, slithered his forked tongue at me.
Yeah, and all along, it was me.
So the weatherman.
The weatherman. Secret for Verbinski. He's got some nuggets. I mean, what I always enjoy is that he just made this between the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Just a little quiet side thing.
Yeah, like a palate cleanser as a director.
I think it must be. Like, how many years did he lose to like Pirates? Like 8 years, 9 years? He's like, no. I need to depress Nicolas Cage having visions of SpongeBob and just like fucking lederhosen and women dressed as Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincage in my notes, actually.
It's always weird when a film, you get a Nick Cage, but the film takes place in like a world where pop culture stuff exists.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's always odd, like Brian Gummel, like real news guy. It's like, okay, so does Nick Cage not exist in this universe? What is the rule?
Oh yeah. I would assume that he wouldn't exist.
I have a theory now, but I'll get to it later. Oh, okay. Cause it has to do with the unbearable weight.
That makes sense.
There were so many things in this movie that I had forgotten about that just kill me. Like the tartar sauce monologue.
Absolutely.
I love the tartar sauce.
I like
monologue.
Eating pussy. Some guys don't. Maybe not. Like most guys don't. Yeah, maybe not most guys. Just black guys. I remember that
mild
it existed.
Racism.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Don't isolate that audio.
Don't challenge me with a good time.
Yeah, cancel one third of your podcast. That sounds like a bit of a laugh.
If Nick's still here, I'm not worried about it.
It's just going to be me talking to myself.
I have never said anything problematic on this podcast, so it's not a problem.
Oh, God. Tartar sauce.
My hips are cold. Well, so, Daryl, you said that this is one of your favorites, actually, and I'm kind of curious about that because obviously you've run the gamut. You've seen every single movie. So it's surprising to hear it in such high regard.
Yeah, this is kind of, I consider it one of the untalked about forgotten gems of Cage. This is like genuine good. And I don't know if I brought this up before. I've definitely brought it up on my podcast. There are certain films that I think you recommend to people when you want to remind them that Nicolas Cage is actually a good actor. And this is up there with them. This is kind of like just a sort of a mellow, just kind of like sad, grounded Cage. There's not that many Cage-isms, except when he's like running and throwing that pie at that guy. He's like, I gotta see my family. They got a pie on me, man. Which is great. But it kind of comes in that some strange mid-noughties period where he's coming off the back of like the award sort of nominations for adaptation. He's just a National Treasure. We're on the cusp of the straight to DVD era. It's this weird sort of midway point. And I guess if you think about it, it's kind of like an interesting juxtaposition with the unbearable weight of massive talent, because I think some may argue that this was one of his last good, I'm going to use air quotes there, good performances that was on at the cinema. And then you sort of consider Unbearable Weight, this movie where he's, again, air quotes, he's come back. It's kind of this weird two tail ends of his career here. As I said, I think it's a very understated performance. It's a very underrated performance. Loki, I think, is just a very good film that you definitely, wink, wink, cannot watch for full on YouTube for free. Wink, wink, you can't do that at all. That's definitely not how I watched it last night. And also, I think this is some of the best Nicolas Cage's hair has ever been in cinema as well. A good clean cut.
I'm inclined to agree. I know some people don't like it, but it's a haircut that you've never seen on him before. Like,
it's a very youthful haircut.
Different do. Yeah, it's very TV. It does it for me.
Exactly. It's the kind of haircut I want on my Weatherman.
Mm-hmm. John Weatherman.
Yeah, that's a TV name. That's a bullshit name.
Oh, man.
Do you think whether people actually get shit thrown at them? They seem so benign to me.
I don't know that I'd recognize a weather person.
I would throw something at Al Roker.
Back in the day, but yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Al Roker was weather, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd throw some shit at him.
Al, he needs to eat more. Well, he's too skinny.
Look, I'm not.
It's because he got like lap band surgery.
Yeah, but he looks funny now. He looked better when he at least was like 50 pounds heavier.
There are some people that look better with more weight on them. Yeah. I agree with that.
Sorry, Al Roker.
And some people look better with a mustache. You know, it's like some people, they've had a mustache forever and then they shave it off and you're like, the fuck?
Oh, yeah. One of my apprentices came to work without his mustache the other week and he just looked like a child. I couldn't handle it anymore.
Are you a Jedi master? What do you mean apprentice? Explain yourself, man. First, you're a snake man. Now you've got apprentices.
Yeah, I'm a journeyman snake man. I train other people to be public snakes.
With mustaches.
My egg apprentices.
Yeah.
Wait, you're not a snake. You have hair.
Haven't seen those hairy snakes? Oh, boy. Never mind.
This man is unhatched. Apprentice. Hiss. Hiss.
I do like how we get the we get to see what happened to Little Brown Jr. and that woman he used to lift.
Wait, what?
Hope Davis.
That was Hope Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, well, shit.
His wife. Well, ex-wife. In this movie.
Put it on a tombstone.
His ex-wife.
His ex-wife.
There's actually like another grave between them.
Yeah, what happens if you get remarried? Do you have to like, does the old body get exhumed so your new wife can go in there? Do you just throw him in the same pit? Do you get a second, do you get a third plot?
Yeah, can you like double-decker a grave?
I don't see why not.
Like bunk beds?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just bury the old wife a little bit deeper.
Right, you got to take them
the
both
new wife
out
on top.
A little deeper. Yeah. His wives.
His wives.
You got to plan ahead for that. You start out by digging one really deep grave.
Oh, yeah. This guy gets all about some. Like your ambition.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, I know I'm getting at least three divorces.
I'm having many divorces. Yeah. Let's get this thing deep.
It was always one of my questions about like when people were trying to explain the idea of heaven to me when I was a child. It's like, you get to meet all your loved ones. I'm like, what if you get remarried? That's an awkward conversation to have later.
Nah, everyone's chill in heaven, though.
You got time, I guess.
The Saint Peter just like rolls up one day to your ex-wife and is like, hey, you're needed somewhere else. Like Sean's getting remarried. You can't stay. Like you have to go to other heaven.
Oh, not heaven too.
Lesbian heaven.
Also, how fucked up is that? It's like they have to be a part of your heaven. Like where's their heaven? Like, do you have to spend your afterlife with all of their loved ones too?
That's a good point. Did my aunt really like me that much?
Yeah.
Enough to spend an eternity with you.
Look, I love my in-laws and all, but I'm not trying to spend eternity with them.
You got to meet those people in heaven, and just like his wife, like you've had an argument, like my blowjobs lacked enthusiasm because I hated you, and now we're all in heaven together.
What if that's the last thing you heard before you died? Like your wife tells you that you die, and then the next time you see them is when they get to heaven.
Hold on, I do. That was another one that like just killed me because I forgot about it. BJ's lacked enthusiasm.
He did not wait to open that note.
Oh man, no, he was just on it right away.
Okay, so this movie, it's funny, like I watched it last night and it's obviously it is a comedy, but I didn't laugh a single time by myself, and maybe that's just the nature of like watching something alone, but I was like amused and entertained, but I didn't laugh at all. But talking about it out loud right now, I'm like, this is pretty fucking funny.
Yeah
Yeah, that's how it gets you.
I don't know. I'm very comfortable laughing at like depression and sad things. Because I'm a happy
you laugh
guy.
At me.
Yeah, that's why I hang out with you. I feed off of it.
I think there's some of this is kind of like very meta about Cage as well, because there's that bit where he's doing some of the various like narration, and I'll say Cage ASMR narration. That can put me to like comfortably to sleep. Like, yes, please tell me all the stories in those sort of gravelly, deep, dulcet tones.
If you don't want your dad, to think you're a silly fuck, don't slap a man with a glove.
You'd have to have a dad for that to happen first. 1-0 this guy. Yay.
Ouch.
It's okay. If I've laughed for 32 years, I will laugh for a 33rd.
Wait, was that a dig at me or a dig at you?
Both? Yeah, sure. Why not? Who needs them? Who needs men? I don't need them. I don't need them. I am one.
Strong male father figures. Who needs them? Look at Sean. He turned out fine.
Yeah, we turned out really good strong boys.
We are the Sad Lads Club, everyone. Everyone's welcome.
Not me. I've got a dad, a real strong
well,
dad.
Well, fuck you, buddy.
I bet my dad could dig up your dad and beat the shit out of him any day.
Oh. You know what? I want your dad and my dad to fight. I'm just going to throw my dad's like ashes in your dad's face.
It'll get all caught up in his fucking manly ass mustache.
I mean, my dad's still alive. I just don't know where he is.
Like a Where's Waldo situation. Have you checked in into the bushes? He could be wearing a ghillie suit and a snorkel.
My dad's a scuba snake. Everyone's going to make fun of me at the playground.
He's the apprentice.
One of these days he's going to come back. He's like, I need you to take over the family business and just hand you your own snorkel.
He gives me all of these like old snake skins that he's used. Like, I don't want any of this. Let me inherit your debt. I don't want this.
Joke's on you. This is both. I still have payments on all of these snake skins.
No. Oh God. That'll be a fitting way for my life to go. What point was I making for my dad ruin my life again? That was it. There was those couples, that couple on the couch. They're like, he was talking about his name. He had to change his name to David Spritz because it sounded all weathery. And like, it's like, I don't like him. It's like, I like him. I like his name. It's like, he's got an asshole face. I don't like his face. And I feel that that scene was like very directed about like the split consensus towards Nicolas Cage anyway. Tackling this stuff about who we are and who we appear to be and where we are and as we all approach 40 covered in like frosty all over us. Which like interesting side fact, there's recently a Wendy's that does these kind of frosties open up by me in the UK. We're finally getting one. So I have the chance to be hit by a frosty now. So,
hey,
oh, that's nice.
I hope it's because they know that you're Daryl Edge of the podcast. They're like, it's that guy.
For better or worse. Love what you do.
Big fan.
Thank you.
I gotta see my father today.
I've inherited so many skins.
I can't show up with frosty all over me. I don't want to look like a fucking fool.
Snakes are cold-blooded. I can't handle a frosty.
I mean, speaking of weird like male figures in the film though, that subplot with the son and like the creepy counselor, I still don't really get what that's all about.
I think they actually could have gone harder with the. Well, he dangerous was just
territory. Where's that mute button?
Yeah. He was just the boringest pedophile I've ever seen. Those were some real dry line ratings. That's my problem. It's like, okay, he had the goatee. I'll give him that, but
classic look.
Now let's talk about camel toe.
Well, I've got some opinions on camel toe. I don't. I'm totally fine with it.
They call it camel toe, David.
Shelley is one of my favorite characters, though. Like, she's fucking fantastic. Like,
I love the placidity of her ordering cigarettes and then, like, strikes. It's like, yeah, God, you're such an old soul.
Yeah.
Is it that easy for children to get, like, cigarettes in America as well? As long as you're confident.
According to American film, and I can only base this on this movie and Clerks, yes. You're not going to make any money by withholding cigarettes from kids.
That's fair.
If you sell them cigarettes now, you've got a customer for at least 15 years. Back to Shelley. I like Shelley as well. She's an awesome character. I love just how much she doesn't care, how she wanted to take up archery to kill animals. It's like she is probably gonna be a serial killer.
Yeah,
like unless mm-hmm. Cage really gets his shit together, Shelley's gonna hunt her brother.
I just like it's such a good representation of an actual like shitty kid. Mm-hmm. They did a great job of that, like her trying to shoot the bow and just like, ow,
yeah,
ow, I don't want to do this anymore, and it's like, yep.
Yeah, nice parallel between the movies too of Nicolas Cage thrusting his enthusiasm for a subject onto a child that's not into it.
Yeah, for sure.
So
thrusting his enthusiasm is not a great sentence.
I was gonna say, like, better than enthusiastically thrusting on a child.
There you go.
We have to cut. Yeah. Yep. No.
You cowards.
We'll see.
You cowards. You'll cut nothing. You cowards.
That's right.
This is our first no edit episode.
It's me and Daryl versus the world.
Full uncut audio. Snake skins everywhere. Okay, so this movie's good, right?
Yes,
this movie's great.
I love this film. I saw it like right when it came out on DVD, I rented it from a Blockbuster. I really enjoyed it. That'll take you back.
No shit.
I probably paid cash too.
Hmm.
Was a different time.
So you've all seen this a couple of times now.
Yes.
Big reveals. I mean, we talked about some stuff that you noticed, but was there anything that like major takeaway on watching it on fresh eyes?
I like it. I think it's a really well-paced movie. It doesn't let me wander much.
The big takeaway that I had as kind of a new memory of it was that the music, the Hans Zimmer score, is really fucking good. Like it fits that movie. It's sort of like anxious and weird, but also chill.
It could use a few more bars.
every time SpongeBob. I mean, I always sort of wondered how it was they approached the casting for the character of Shelley, because there'd have to be the sort of caveat is like, okay, you're going to be sort of Nicolas Cage's like daughter. At one point, we will be doing a close up on your camel toe. We'll do some ice skating stuff as well. It's like, wait, what was that bit in the middle? It's like, it's 2005. There's no real child laws. We can just do what we want. I'm off to make another Pirates of the Caribbean movie in like 6 months.
Prosthetics technology hadn't advanced enough to do a fake child camel toe at that point. You had to go authentic.
God damn it.
Like real gorilla recording too, because you got to catch it in the right light. Unsuspecting, a real candid camel toe.
That absolutely was a website in like 2001 for sure.
And you can't cut this out because it's a huge character point for Shelley as well. It is factual part of stuff. The movie.
God damn it.
My dialogue is invincible.
Stop trapping me with this shit.
That's the best thing I like about being a podcast guest is trapping my hosts. Edit around that, you losers.
Good luck, assholes. Assholes being me.
Take that, future you.
Yeah, right.
That guy's probably evil. Probably
that's true.
Has a goatee.
I'm going to do a goatee.
He's going to leave it in. Good job, evil Peter.
Yeah.
Evil clones, evil snakes.
What were we talking about?
All right, so the weatherman on the grid. Good, bad, bad, good.
Bad, good, good, bad, bad, bad.
Where's
good,
this one? Bad. Where's this one pin?
I think it's a great performance. I think it's a solid movie. Good for me.
Yeah, this is a good on my books.
Daryl, we kind of already know, but put it on tape.
I'm going to put it right the F on tape. I would put it somewhere between the Fiber Grade and SpongeBob. Good. One of my faves.
Any final thoughts? Sucking, fucking, chucking rocks.
That was such a. I loved his, like, the last conversation we see him have with his father is just like, sometimes you have to chuck rocks.
Yeah. In this shitty world, sometimes you have to chuck something.
It's like, you're supposed to be a fucking great writer, sir. And those are the last words you said to your son.
Yeah.
He also had a living funeral, though. So, you know, what a guy. Arrogance, maybe. I don't know, but.
I still want my funeral to have like a 3-drink minimum. I don't want any fake stories about me. I don't want anyone to talk about how I was such a great guy.
Mine is still going to have commemorative coins minted.
Love that.
Oh, yeah. That's tight. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawaiian shirts for me. And it ends with a mandatory suck and fuck.
What? I want Hawaiian like suits.
Hawaiian suits and a mandatory suck and fuck is a pretty good way to go.
Do Hawaiian suits have formal pants or formal shorts? I mean, like, they're still Hawaiian printed, but like shorts or pants?
Shorts.
How short?
Short.
Short. Short.
Yeah. And I think you don't wear a shirt underneath it. It's just the jacket.
I like it.
Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage both would look good in Hawaiian shirts.
Agreed. Not at the same time, though. It's too much.
No, too much. Especially if you were on acid. Yeah. Ooh, that'd be a lot.
Yeah. I think just Nicolas, me being on acid and like sitting across from Nicolas Cage would be too much. But it's Nicolas Cage.
That man's done some mescaline, we know.
Yeah.
At one point, he wanted to tattoo dreadlocks in his hair, on his scalp.
I still don't understand that concept.
I don't either.
They're not 3-dimensional.
So the unbearable weight of massive talent. His hair in this bugs me.
Well, his whole vibe is very Chris
Evans. Yeah, what we all, the three of us watched this together, and 5 minutes in, I'm like, he's really like channeling like real life Chris Evans in terms of his look. Brown jacket, hair, that beard.
I think it's a like my favorite contemporary Nicolas Cage look. Like my favorite post 2018 like body type, His beard is like a good length and a nice, like it got lined up real nicely. Mm-hmm.
Obviously nicely dyed.
Yeah.
It's how dark it all is what.
Yeah, I wouldn't have minded a little salt in that pepper.
But I mean, I guess the whole point of his character is he's, you know, not that he ever went anywhere, but he's like trying to recapture like that, get that next big movie that's going to really put him back on the map. So a little.
Yeah, he has to project youth a little bit. Youth and strength.
Yeah.
And gray hairs don't equate strength.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I know this because I exclusively beat up people with gray hair.
Damn it.
Yeah, you're next.
All right. That's fair. And you're a big, strong boy.
I'm a big, strong boy. I'm going to wrap you up in my snake arms.
Snakes don't have arms.
I don't know if you've ever seen a snake.
Yeah. I don't know what snakes you're looking at.
It's like a medieval or Renaissance paintings or pre-Renaissance paintings where every snail is just like a dragon size. It's like, God, have you seen snails? Terrifying.
Did
Europeans are dumb.
Did Europe just used to be like covered in iguanas? Is that where we get dragons?
Probably.
I mean, you're looking at me. Unfortunately, I wasn't there in the 12th century.
Coward.
I'm going to assume yes. I think like, oh, sure, it, my lord, a snake with legs. We now know that's a lizard, what was being described back then.
You know what? Dictionaries were much smaller. They didn't have words for everything. So
I remember a while back, someone was celebrating like the anniversary of the first like alphabetical dictionary. And I'm just like, how infuriating would it be before that time?
What was the cataloging system?
I don't know.
Well, you just get a new word, you add it to the end, because otherwise you had to handwrite the whole thing, so you didn't want to have to like start all over. It's like, oh fuck, I forgot about rutabaga, I gotta start from the beginning.
That's madness.
Well, I guess you could just start from the page rutabaga would appear on. Aardvark, that's two A's. I gotta start all over again.
Retranscribe everything. Damn, this illuminated manuscript.
Yeah, what did we do before words were written down? Did we just like go off vibes? Like we categorized this one as like, and then that one as, It was just a category. We went purely on vibes and feelings, which mostly ended up in like burning women at the stake. It was a different time. We've moved on, guys. Come on.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to burn them if they try and burn you first.
Yeah.
Seems fair.
Yeah.
I think that's the rules.
It's the golden rules.
So Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, we saw this at like our quarter mark in this whole process. So there were some things that I think we didn't like appreciate as much the first time, but for the most part, it's like pretty easy watch.
Yeah. Digging more into like his career, especially during like the straight to DVD years, there is a very palpable sadness to the beginning of this film. It seems a little too real at times.
Yeah.
As somebody who hasn't quite peaked yet, I don't know. I haven't felt these feelings of downtroddenness, so I couldn't identify, but
when is your peak? Like 49?
Usually around like 3:30 in the afternoon. It's all downhill from there.
Oh, you're just talking about today. You haven't peaked. I got it. Yeah.
Drinking the sadness away. That's the secret of podcasting. We've all already peaked. We've got a fake beard drawn on. We're just waiting for someone to send us to a house in Spain.
There was a period of time on my Zoom where I had accidentally turned on a filter that added a beard to my face, but I already have a beard, so it was just putting a beard on a beard.
It's like a hat on a hat.
It was really confusing because I couldn't quite, like, it looked like a glitch or something, and then eventually I finally was like, oh, there's a setting.
You're like that guy who goes to court or is the kitten.
Yeah.
I'm prepared to proceed anyways.
I can assure you I'm not a cat.
I challenge you to prove that you're not a cat, sir.
Cats don't talk.
That we know of.
I'm just saying, these cats are smart. And then you put three of them in a trench coat?
Can you imagine the sheer number of things they could knock off of tables if there were three of them in a trench coat, getting them to newer heights?
Just all three at once.
Yeah.
Now I got a Voltron it where each hand is a cat head.
That's five.
That's five.
Cats in a trench coat.
Too many cats.
Yeah.
Too
right now, it's just limp arms hanging down.
And they just a broom.
Come out of this.
A broom and a plunger on either end.
There you go.
Real Vincent Adultman vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think five is too many cats. Four, maybe the optimal amount of cats. Can the cats coexist long enough? Because they could get territorial. Does its belly start hissing? Do you start like seeing like a kind of Looney Tunes fighting inside the trench coat as well? I don't know. Like these are why the apes get their own planet and not the cats. You know.
Good point.
How long of a trench coat do you need for the human centipede? Like, obviously pretty long, but how well would it hold up?
Sometimes I still quote Human Centipede, just that guy from going, ish, nay, when I remember how many legs that I've got, which is two.
Yeah. Prove it.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, Human Centipede is terrific. Did you ever watch the second one?
I never watched like the sequels. I was like, you know what? This is fine.
No, like one lives on fine. It lives rent free in my mind. But two is the landlord, because that movie goes like full fucking meta, where it starts out with like a security guard watching the original movie and he's like, I could do this. And then he like just starts kidnapping people, and he has zero medical credentials because he's a night security guard at like a turnstile, and starts sewing people mouth to asshole. And it does not go well. And pretty soon you've got corpses in the middle. It's bizarre and hot. But I think a trench coat would have improved it, because then you wouldn't have to look at the dead ones.
Yeah, you just cover them up.
Yeah.
It really does reveal which ones are alive and dead, though.
I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. But we talk about the actual movie.
Yeah, it's great. I love it.
We were talking about a movie.
The unbearable length of massive centipedes.
I remember with The Unbearable Weight, like our first viewing of it, not being completely sold on it, not really liking the third act when it turns into an action movie. And I still maintain like, be nice to see him like wrestle with the fact that he's a murderer now.
Yeah, like he definitely kills it, dude.
Yeah, he's just fine with it. Like, just have him be a little weird about it. That's all I'm asking. But upon rewatch and being so much more within the Stockholm syndrome of only watching Nick Cage movies, I loved it.
Yeah. You do have to let it be a movie at some point too. I didn't like in our original watching, I don't think I acknowledged how much it mirrored the progression of adaptation.
Yeah.
And that one even gets a little bit into an action movie in the third act.
And I got shot. Isn't that fucked up?
And it's terrific. I mean, just as a nice little homage back to that one. And what better way to pay some respect to adaptation than not even acknowledge it?
I loved Unbearable Weight when it came out. Just because I got told who to email, I got to go to like a kind of advanced screening of it. But it was just really one of those things where they get, I'm going to use like such a big air quote, celebrities or social media influencers just to create some buzz about it. And then I'm just there in like a stained hoodie going like, I belong here. It was like a weird thing, because this was like the first sort of big Cage movie in a long time to come back to like big screens and stuff. So I was like sat there like a concerned dad watching their like kid go to like school for the first time or something, being like in a school play, like, oh God, like I hope he remembers his lines. I hope everyone likes him like I do. And he got some like big laughs and was like, oh, my boy still got it. He can do it. He's going to be okay. And I felt this parental pride just like watching the movie. And I loved it. Like I've loved it on subsequent views, even though I think that in many ways, this is like just such a vehicle for Pedro Pascal, if nothing else. And I have no problem with that, because I'm so on board with like Pedro Pascal now. And I, you know, I wish we could all find some passion in our lives like he has for Nicolas Cage in real life and on screen as well.
It's weird watching, because when we first watched this, I watched a lot of interviews with the cast about this film, and Nick Cage gives a good interview, and his press circuit for this movie is clearly him being so uncomfortable with him being a meme.
I feel like a lot of movies just, he's trying to face the fact that he's, I think more so in Dream Scenario more recently, but he's like the only celebrity who's been, I guess, memed to the extent that he has. Like, who else is just having a losing their shit compilation go online?
I mean, Mel Gibson, but that's
Yeah, from a performance perspective, no one really.
Pacino, but not as much.
Yeah, that's different, but that's really like a one note kind of vibe.
Yeah. Great ass.
Yeah.
Pacino?
Yes.
Fair enough. Now I know your type. All right.
Well, what I also like, I think this just confirms my theory that Nicolas Cage just loves dressing up like old men. Because he does it in Pig, Army of One, not necessarily dressed like one, but he's just a bald old man in dream scenario. Mm-hmm. I think part of him, he just loves to be just like a fucking like Weasley old guy who doing that Peggy Sue voice. He loves to be like a crazy little guy. He just fucking loves it.
It's probably in his contract that he has to have at least 3 days of shooting in comfortable attire. He's like, I'll do everything else in leather jackets and tight shirts, but you got to give me at least a couple scenes in a cardigan or a bathrobe.
I mean, that's, you know, you set that standard on day one, on shoot day one, and they have to keep it. Jake Johnson has a great story about how on New Girl, he wore his like trailer slippers to the set. And someone's like, are those slippers? Like, oh, they were in my trailer. I thought they were a wardrobe. And they're like, okay, I guess. And he got to wear them for the rest of that show. Whereas Max Greenfield is like, yeah, you have to wear a suit and those fucking shoes for like 12 hours. And I get to wear these. Like,
I would hold out until like 60% of the film is in the can before I'm just like, I'm wearing this now. What are you going to do? Replace me? Good luck. That's expensive.
This is the Wesley Snipes scenario.
Yeah.
I'm not going to open my eyes.
Fucking video Photoshop eyes on me.
Yeah.
What?
You don't know about this?
No. Oh, yeah,
so right. Blade 3, perfect. Wesley Snipes is just such a fucking diva and doesn't want to do anything. Hates the director.
Hates Ryan Reynolds.
So the opening scene where you first introduce Blade and he's on a he's in a morgue. All Wesley Snipes has to do for the scene is open his eyes. Like his eyes like shoot open, but he refuses to do it. He just won't do it. So they like CG in him opening his eyes and it's terrible.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
Huh. No, early CG is the best CG. I stand by that.
Ghost Rider 1, man. Fuck, that's so bad.
Ghost Rider 1 holds up shockingly well. Blade 2.
The Ghost Rider holds up.
The everything water.
Else, yeah,
the
fucking the Dusty Boy. And
Wet Boy.
Wet Boy.
The Wet Bandit.
Yeah.
Go back and watch some Blackheart. Spawn.
Oh my God, Spawn is incredible.
The CG in Spawn is
what's the
awesome.
Huge thing?
That cape.
Malbogia.
Yeah, Malbogia. That scene is so egregiously bad where its mouth is just like hinged open.
Yeah.
And it's like, Spawn, you are my servant.
I'm going to make you do hell things.
Your voice is better for this. Oh, man. I thought Spawn was going to be so fucking cool.
Me too.
I know. Oh, well, maybe we could get a new Spawn movie. We won't. Nobody cares about Spawn anymore.
I don't know. He's fucking still trying. What's his name?
McFarlane.
McFarlane. Every 6 months, like McFarlane, like will talk to anyone who will interview him and be like, it's happening.
We're 25 years out of the 90s. Nobody needs Spawn anymore.
No. Yeah.
Look, if we're not getting National Treasure 3, we're not getting a new Spawn. That's the agreement. Nothing else happens until National Treasure 3.
No.
That's the deal. That's the deal, Malbolgia.
The day they
you gotta get Turtle Tub on board.
The day they lock down Trent Reznor for Spawn, I will believe that it's happening.
To play Spawn?
No, to do the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Because he does fucking kick ass soundtracks.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody else could do a Spawn soundtrack.
No. I want Danny Elfman to do a Spawn soundtrack.
Nobody else could do a successful Spawn soundtrack.
I didn't say successful.
No, I said it, though.
Anybody now we're moving the goalposts.
Yeah, obviously, because I didn't like your answer. Yeah. So I'm changing the game.
It's kind of how this podcast works.
Yeah.
So on this podcast, we're taking 64 Nicolas Cage movies, bracket style, and we're going to figure out what the cagiest film is as decided by Nick and myself.
Perfect. I'm not even going to put that at the beginning.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay, so this movie, I don't think we ever touched on it, but why the fuck did it get made?
I think the writers, Tom Gormican, really like Nicolas Cage. So I got to like speak to them on like my podcast somehow. And I was like, were the movie studios like, how did they agree to this? And like, yeah, they were just on board. So I think the movie studios have always had faith in our boy. I think it's just an interesting premise as well, though, that it's a Nicolas Cage movie about Nicolas Cage becoming Nicolas Cage and also battling Nicolas Cage, co-starring Pedro Pascal. It brought me lots of joy. I wish I had a Nicolas Cage shrine in a secret room where I live, but I just like, I want those face-off waxwork figures in my house.
It's grotesque. I'll give you $20,000 for it.
That I think is maybe my favorite scene. I love the acid scene, but I think the reveal of his fandom is probably my favorite.
I think it's so the whole premise of this film is just like, oh, Nick Cage is, you know, we all think of him as like this weird, like kind of has been like bygone actor who just whose career is just completely like, but he's still. So much of his later work that came out before this film, and they even reference part of it in this film, is so good. So, like, Mandy is referenced in this film, but, like, Pig came out before this. Joe came out before this. Like, he has such solid work after this. It seems odd that two normal people who aren't obsessive like me, like, they still think of Nick Cage as, like, a bad actor.
I think it's groupthink a lot on that, you know, you hear it. It's like, oh, he's a shitty actor. He's over the top. He's wild, whatever. And then everyone's just like, oh, yeah, that's true. Look at his big, weird eyes.
Well, you don't do the homework and you only watch the like internet compilations of him reciting the alphabet. And you're like, well, yeah, that's not going to be a good movie. It's like, well, no,
it's a great movie.
Back it up.
It's going to win.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
But like. You know, I'll have those conversations. I've told the story where I was at a wedding and I told someone I was doing this podcast. I'm like, Nick Cage is a terrible actor. What's he been in? And the guy just starts like naming like movies and gets to like, you know, his secondhand naming films he likes. He's like, wait, is Nick Cage a good actor? I'm like, yes.
See?
You just proved yourself.
Yeah. It's like, what?
This is called
The Rock, Face Off, Leaving Las Vegas, The Weatherman, Peggy Sue Got Married. Wait a minute.
Moonstruck. These are all, oh, fuck.
Guys, yeah, I gotta leave this wedding right now.
I gotta go watch Moonstruck. Guarding Tess? Guarding Tess is a terrible film.
I don't know if it's terrible, but it's not in a conversation for me when I start telling people about Nicolas Cage's
career.
No, it
wouldn't be high on mine either. I barely remembered Doug Chesnick until watching The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Okay, here's the thing we really need to talk about, though. Paddington 2 is pretty good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, okay. So have you watched Paddington 2?
And for context, for anyone who's listening to this who hasn't seen Unbearable Weight.
What's wrong with you? Go watch it. Yeah. Turn off this podcast
Pedro
right now.
Pedro Pascal
go watch it.
Lists Paddington 2 as his third favorite movie of all time.
Have you watched it, Daryl?
I have. I have seen it. I think the references to Paddington 2, whenever I've seen it in the cinema, have always got like the biggest laughs because you just don't expect it. But then you're like, yeah, no, Paddington 2 is great. We all love Paddington 2. And it brings you to tears. The bear gets arrested. Why would you arrest a bear? Why is the bear not using his bear powers to kill?
That was my thing at the end when he's like, when the train's going underwater, I'm like, use your bear strength, dude. You're a bear.
Oh, he had that really good hard stare.
Yeah.
And that was intimidating. Yeah. Like the animators did a great job on
the
that.
The animators in that whole movie did a great job. That's a visually stunning film.
I kind of liken Paddington 2 to being like the UK's National Treasure. Like he goes on a little heist. He gets like, he has adventures. It's good.
Yeah.
I got the same amount of energy from Paddington 2 as I did from National
Treasure. We have Nicolas Cage. You have Paddington.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a fair trade, I think. It's like over here, like anytime someone of like high significance, like a royal dies, someone will post a picture on the internet of like Paddington 2 like holding their hand, and it makes it look like Paddington is the Grim Reaper just leading them away. And if you're not a fan of the royal family, as I'm not particularly, I like the idea that the last thing they see before it all goes dark is just this like bear just pouring marmalade on you and just unveiling his hood.
No, it's like a Reservoir Dog scene where Paddington's got you like tied to a chair and he's like stuck in the middle with you. And he's like just pouring marmalade on you before bear eating you.
I
think what I want going forward, you know, how they're building like the Universal Monsters thing going forward. I want to see eventually like Paddington versus Winnie the Pooh. Who is the ultimate jammy ing bear? like Paddington's like, I have the power of a cuck and I won't fight anyone. And then Winnie the Pooh is like, I love eating bush. So I think there's two incredible bears that we'll be fighting going forward. You know, I don't know who a third good bear is. Then Sam Jackson turns up and he's building a team.
That's how it has to be.
Teddy Ruxpin is the bear that got left out. He goes completely rogue and like he's the villain.
Someone gave him a bad tape to play.
Yeah, a corrupted cassette.
Can they fight terrorism? Just like a second plane has hit the Honey Tower. I don't know. You have to cut that out. I don't know. Is that too soon? No, is that too soon?
That's gold.
20 years. That's
gold.
The rule.
Like honey.
You can say whatever you want because it was all a conspiracy from the start. So it's all fake news.
Don't talk to your apprentice about it. Honey can't melt steel beams.
I'm just saying, man, check your Reddit sheep. Wake up, sheeple. I've done the research and I've come on this podcast to tell you all my findings. All right. Wake up.
9/11 was an inside job. The bears did it.
It was the donkey.
Fucking Eeyore.
Oh, God. It would be Eeyore, wouldn't it? Okay. I mean, yeah. What do you guys think? This movie is, it's a weird movie. It's very meta. It's very self-referential. It's very Cage referential. Mm-hmm. But like as a movie, it's pretty fun.
I mean, think it holds up a lot more than I thought it would. And I wound up enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would on a rewatch.
It certainly appeals heavily to us. Mm-hmm. I want to know how somebody not balls deep in Nick Cage's career would take the movie. Like, I don't know what my grandma would think about this movie. She'd probably think it was nice. She's like, oh, that was nice.
Like, I'm sure if you just know the meme that is Nick Cage, this movie's for you. But if also you're weirdos mm-hmm. like us, this movie's also for you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's my string board theory. My crazy fucking like,
oh yeah, good.
This is the center all right. of the Cageverse of my fucking string board. Nick Cage plays all these, the actor Nick Cage exists within this universe where all the Nick Cage movies are real. So the movie Face Off is based on a real story in that universe.
Wouldn't all of them be?
Yes. It's a very weird world, but the actor Nick Cage exists in this universe to play those character, play those characters who are based on real,
real
people.
Life stories.
So he only does true story movies.
Yes.
Yeah. So Mandy's a true story. There you go.
So the Wicker Man's a true story as well.
There you go. Yep. Yeah.
Every Nicolas Cage film is just Nicolas Cage reenacting a tragedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's just like a grief tourist and just loves okay, the wait. Drama.
There's one glaring plot hole in your string theory.
World Trade Center? Yeah.
He rebuilt the towers just to do that movie.
No, it was fiction from the get-go.
He went from ground zero to ground hero.
You're starting to learn my terrible jokes and where I'm going to take them.
Also,
God, that's scary.
Also, based on this theory, the rapture happened.
True.
Twice.
Ugh. One of them was kind of aliens, though.
But like
Angelians.
Angelians.
I think I'd like the Nicolas Cage bear multiverse crossover where they all converge at ground zero and then they look down and there's just like honey at their feet. Maybe honey does melt steel beams. And then like honey terrorists come down. It's like giant bees cause 9/11.
I like that bees are just honey terrorists.
Well, we did steal it from them.
It's true.
We did start this war.
That's a good
the
point.
The bee movie had a point. Jerry Seinfeld had a point. That's all I'm saying.
It was on his butt in that movie. Cause it's a stinger.
That's a stinger joke. So, all right, at this point, I don't know that there's too much more to say about this movie.
We haven't said anything about this movie.
There isn't that much to say about this movie. It's a love story romp for Nicolas Cage people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
you don't go to see this movie if you don't know or like Nicolas Cage. There's zero overlap. But yeah, I mean, do you guys have other thoughts, other final things you want to say about this? I mean, other than like people should watch it. If they listen to this podcast, you probably like Nick Cage enough to watch this movie.
Yeah, it'd be weird if you were listening to this podcast without some liking for Nicolas Cage.
Hey, that's a fair like, amount of our friends.
Nobody likes us that much, though. No, I don't have anything else really on the subject of Unbearable Weight. Terrifically fun movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's one of those movies where I think if you have absolutely no interest in Nicolas Cage, it's probably not going to appeal to you. But I've had people sort of come to me like after the fact and say like, oh, I watched that Unbearable Weight movie. It's actually really fun. So I think it's like, you will enjoy it. I saw like one review on Letterboxd, which I think kind of sums it up, which I think like on one hand, if you are Nicolas Cage build as we are, you'll get the most out of it and you'll pick up on a lot of the Nicolas Cage things. It's kind of like the best of bullet points of Nicolas Cage that you're probably aware of that this movie hits. But if you're kind of lesser enthused, it's one of those movies where maybe you won't laugh out loud at everything. And if you don't laugh at like Cage and Pascal doing acid together, something's wrong with you. But for the most part, it'll be one of those movies where if not laughing out loud, it'll be that kind of like through the nostril, like kind of like laughs like that, which I think you'll enjoy it on paper, like a very interesting idea. For me, it kind of holds up. I can see how the execution maybe like could put some people off. Again, like we say, when it just becomes an action movie in like the last third. I hoped they were going to have some like more of like the Nicky character, like the internal Nicolas Cage dressed like his Terry Wogan interview from like the 90s. I hope they do a sequel so then they can talk about all of the Cage films if they're real fucking fans and not posers.
Yeah, I think Unbearable Weight will work its way into my like I'm home sick from work kind of movies. Like they used to be just like the Ocean's movies. I fucking love staying home from work and just watching Ocean's 11. I don't even have to be sick to enjoy doing that so long as I'm not at work. But I think this could easily be one where it's like, oh, you know, I have an off day. I'm all by myself. I get to just be on the couch with my dog and watch this movie. Perfect.
Of both these films, yeah, The Weatherman has held up since I first watched it, you know, almost 20 years ago. And I think the further away we get from the meme of Nick Cage, or like if he does actually retire like he's planning to, or even in, you know, 10, 20 years when he's not really in the zeitgeist, this movie isn't going to be easy to recommend to people who aren't here for it.
You know, I was thinking slightly off of what you said here with Nicolas Cage's comments about future retirement and stuff. He's saying like, oh, he's got like four or five movies that he wants to make still. But I was thinking that doesn't mean he's limiting himself to four or five movies. It's like, there's maybe four or five like solid roles he wants to hit, but yeah, he'll fill in the time between. So I think we've still got
maybe some good maybe he'll Nicolas Cage play Spider-Man in live action.
Yeah, maybe he will.
We can say we were here for all of it. Mm-hmm. The Cage to TV transition starts now, baby.
And then we'd have to do weekly recaps.
I don't know. I think that's it decided. It sounded fairly definitive.
What?
I don't know. Are we going with Weatherman?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my vote's for Weatherman. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a real delightful movie. I love the cleanness of his performance and like starting from the very beginning, he's knee deep in tension. And like, as he's waiting for this job offer and the shittiness of his separation from his wife, and I like the way he handles it, which is poorly. And I like watching him. Yeah. Just he plays it really well. And he's a kind of a self-absorbed father. And it's an enjoyable movie for me all the time.
Yeah.
Plus camel toe.
I do have one fun, random Nicolas Cage story from this week, though. About Nicolas Cage, just an experience I had. Nick and I had lunch yesterday. And we were at a local restaurant bar, and Pig was playing behind Nick on the TV, but the subtitles were like way off sync.
They were like a whole scene out of sync.
They were like, whoa. They were 10 minutes out of sync.
That's fucked up.
So like when he's like going and talking to what's the guy's name?
Amir?
No.
The restaurateur.
The restaurateur. When he goes and talks to him at first, the subtitles are for
Finway.
The subtitles are for all the stuff going on underground. But where it synced up perfectly for me is when he's like going and sitting with Handpan and the subtitles are him dressing down the gastro chef. So it's just Nick Cage saying, just destroying the soul of a small child.
Fantastic.
It was astounding.
Yeah.
That's a good mashup.
It was great.
Yeah. More of that. More child abuse going forward.
That is something that Nicolas Cage movies have been sorely lacking.
That's the line to go out on.
I know, right? Solid finish to that episode. A real laugh riot. More child abuse in Cage movies, please and thank you. There it is.
There's a sad trombone.
Yeah.
Yay, we did it. We did it, everyone. What a joy. What a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me back on. Maybe we can do it again next year. One appearance a year. Lock it in.
Oh no, we're speeding up though. It gets faster from here. Because we
slow down. Slow down
every sequence.
We'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah. So next up, we're gonna have our matchups where it will be two guests arguing hard for one movie each.
Oh. Yeah, interesting.
So one that you really go super hard for.
And Sean and I are going to dress up like old-timey judges with powdered wigs.
I was going to dress up as Judge Dredd.
I mean, can do that too.
You
can
just dress as Judge Dredd.
As long as you're a judge.
Yeah. Just put a wig underneath it.
Yeah.
If 8mm goes forward.
Judge Dredd.
If 8mm goes forward, I want to see who goes hard for that movie and then stop being friends with them.
Yeah. Who loves snuff that much?
You can have a normal judge, Judge Dredd, Judge Reinhold. All the big judges.
Oh yeah, that's good. Can we get Judge Reinhold?
Can we get Judge Reinhold?
Probably. He's got to be on Cameo.
And one Judge Judy to rule over all of us.
Yes.
The one judge to rule them all.
And she picks Primal.
Yeah.
Daryl, do you want to do your spiel about what it is you do and where people can find you?
I guess. So you can find me on my own sort of Nicolas Cage podcast. That is Cage Rage, a Nicolas Cage podcast in which I have currently covered all the movies of the man I call the Golden Hog of Hollywood, Nicolas Cage, on my journey to true Cage Nirvana. That's on all your usual streaming services. And my second podcasting venture is called Getting Defoe You, a dedicated Defoe podcast in which myself and I believe another guest of this podcast, Petros Patsilivas, we have joined forces to cover all of the de highs, all of the de lows, all things Willem Dafoe, all aboard our Dafoe commotion train. We're on all the business at Dafoe UPod. We're in the middle of recording our third season now. It is a lot of fun, so come and join aboard the Dafoe commotion train.
God, that's so polished.
Yeah.
We're on social media. You can find us.
If you try.
Yeah. Peter barely can pull together the names of our 12 Patreon supporters week.
I do have it in front of me, but...
Coward.
I know. Sometimes I do it off the dome. But yeah, thank you to our supporters, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, and Adam. And to our Cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan.
Woo!
Hoo-yah! Got it, motherfuckers.
We're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
We're something.
Oh man, well oiled. Did I ever tell you about that dream I had? It was like maybe 15 years ago. I was a fireman and I was like running up this staircase in a building that was burning, and I kick in the door and there's this mom and her daughter, and they're like obviously trapped by the flames on the other side of the room. And I just make eye contact with them, and then I tear open the front of my fireman suit and I'm just like, where's the fire? Just start rubbing baby oil on my chest. And that's when I woke up.
I'd watch that adult
documentary. Fantastic.
Yeah. That's more of the things I dream about.
Being a sexy, sexy fireman.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah.
You know, some of our friends have goatees, but that's just because they can't grow the in-betweeny bits.
Have you checked?
Yeah. That they can't grow the in-betweeny bits?
No, that's the reason why they have the goatee.
I've never asked.
There's three options. They can't grow the in-betweeny bits. They're a pedophile, or
they're ship clones. Captain, yeah. Even or from clones. The past,
yeah. Yeah.
Past clone. Or future.
That's true. Yeah.
So there's four.
I mean, that just goes with evil clones. My past and future are definitely evil clones of me. Mm. Only now are you getting the correct version.
I feel like one of them has this, one of them just has the mutton chops.
I do good mutton chops.
Yeah.
So, do those evil clones have dads that taught them how to shave? Is that why they're so evil?
That's the only reason to have a dad.
Audio engineers.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Goatees, but they have to have a ponytail.
Yeah.
That's what keeps them on the up.
It can
and
be
up.
A skullet, too, but it's got to be a ponytail. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have a goatee and like a nice haircut.
It's goatee and something that hangs past the shoulders.
Yeah.
Yep. That nice. Sounds right.
Nice.
Daryl, what is the general like feeling of Hawaiian shirts in England? Like,
can you handle seeing that much color at one time?
I say this as someone who unironically wears them all year round, because I love them. They get unfairly maligned as ugly shirts over here. It's like, oh, what's the occasion? Is it, are you in like a stag do or something? It's like, no, I'm autistic. Let me have this. I'm fatherless and autistic. Let me have my fun.
On construction sites here, we have something called Aloha Fridays where people wear Hawaiian shirts on their construction sites. And it really makes Fridays feel nice. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's the kind of construction worker I want in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've got one with like nice toucans and like flowers and stuff all over it. It's good.
I remember when we were moving once, Meredith had like tried to give away all my Hawaiian shirts. Like tried to Goodwill them like behind my back.
And now you're divorced.
And now we're divorced. But last time I saw them, like when I went to a wedding in Virginia, last time I saw them, they were just rocking Hawaiian shirt. I'm like, you bitch.
Betrayer. Well, really, you can't have a relationship where both people are strong in the Hawaiian shirt scene.
That's a good point.
Fair. Yeah. I never thought about that. I was being selfish.
Yeah.